Listen again to the wonderful words of salvation spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. In just a few words, Isaiah tells us that the Christian faith is not something that you earn. It's something that you wear. In fact, the original Hebrew, the word translated here as righteousness, shares the same root letters as the word Yahshua, which in Hebrew is the word for Jesus. So perhaps a better translation would be, He has covered me with the robe of Jesus. Not a robe belonging to Jesus, but literally covered me with Jesus Himself. Therefore, when the Father looks upon you, He sees Jesus. Jesus is your righteousness and your salvation. Now, receiving the robe of righteousness and salvation, in all outward effects, kind of seems like it might be a payday, something that we deserve, but instead it's a lot more like a wedding garment. In fact, Isaiah would say, He has covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Now, I know there's a young man here this morning that's going to be getting married this summer. And I would be willing to bet that Spencer doesn't want people just to show up in whatever they want to show up in. Especially if they're in the wedding party, there is a prescribed dress to wear. Unlike in the Gospel of St. Matthew, when he's describing the wedding crashers, in the end, the king said to the wedding crasher, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And the wedding crasher was speechless. How embarrassing. And how deadly to even try to pass off our own garments as the robe of Jesus. Scripture tells us that our own righteousness is like polluted garments. And I think I've shared the Hebrew meaning with you before. I won't do it again. It's not desirable. Let's just leave it at that. Jesus is the only robe that will ever be adequate to get you into the wedding feast at the end of the age. And Isaiah goes on to tell us that this robe of righteousness gives you and I reason to rejoice. In fact, Paul, in his letter to the church of the Thessalonians, he rejoiced always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reality is our salvation gives us reason to shout and sing and be glad. So why don't we? Why don't we get all giddy when we think about the robe of righteousness of Christ that covers all of my sins? After all, why don't I rejoice greatly in the Lord? Why don't we rejoice when we're all wrapped up in Jesus? I think one of the biggest problems is that this robe of righteousness, we don't sense it with our earthly senses. It's kind of like sometimes we receive to the Holy Spirit like the gift of faith. It's something that I can't feel. Or how about the water of baptism is poured? It feels like ordinary water. It doesn't feel like God is snatching me out of the jaws of sin, death, and the grave and deliver me into the family of God. It just seems like it's a ritual we do to keep Grandma Schmidt happy. How about the elements of the Lord's Supper? I love the look on confirmands' faces the first time they take communion. It's like they were expecting something far more. Pastor, that tastes like, well, a piece of cardboard. And the wine is like super sweet. I've been looking forward to this for all this time. And it's not meeting my expectations. I don't feel anything. Or how about when the Word of God is read? I could have been reading Plato or Aristotle or my favorite book, To Kill a Mockingbird. And it sounds the same. It sounds no different when I'm reading the Word of God as compared to, well, my favorite other books. The ground doesn't shake when Jesus wraps me in Himself. The heavens don't open that I see. Scripture says that, oh yes, the angels rejoice, but I don't hear it. We possess Jesus Christ by faith and not by sight. And quite honestly, I wish we could see more. And the Word of God tells us that we wear Jesus, and that should be reason enough to make us, well, giddy. But nevertheless, our sinful nature always wants something more. You see, our sinful nature wants to be the tailor of the adjustments to that robe that Jesus gives to us. Our sinful nature wants to be in control. We want to make the alterations and the extensions all on our own. We want complete creative license to create our own robe of righteousness apart from Jesus. Of course, that is what we got ourselves into trouble in the first place, didn't we? Our sinful nature wanted to be in control. We followed desires of the flesh, and where did it get us? A one-way ticket to hell. If we try to create this robe of righteousness on our own, we are destined for destruction. Oh, if that's the case, then how does that righteous one get to me? How do I end up wearing Him as my wedding garment? How do I end up blameless like Him? Well, the answer? God does it. It's not you. You are not the tailor. You don't have created liberties in the robe of righteousness. It's a gift that God gives unto you. In fact, God, the Lord, will clothe you with Himself by clothing Himself with you. Remember, I told you what your robe was made of, right? All of your righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And that's what Jesus gets from you. This is not God possessing man just for a little while. Well, I'll do the humanity thing when I'm born in the womb, I conceive in the womb of that virgin in Bethlehem, and as soon, and I mean as soon as that cross is done, I'm out of here like Vladimir. No, instead Jesus took on humanity as the Holy Spirit conceived Him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And from that very moment of conception, Jesus Christ was both true God and true man. A single fertilized egg in the womb of a virgin was God Himself. And then it was the babe in the manger is God. The man dying upon the cross is God. The Son of God was, is, and forever shall be both God and man. This is how God dresses you with Himself. But during this Advent season, you and I have been considering this whole notion of incarnation. That whole being wrapped with humanity as Jesus was in the womb of the Virgin. And as we examine ourselves carefully, we must admit that there is more to us than just our humanity. We have attachments. We have baggage. We have sin. What happens to our sin when Jesus clothes Himself in our humanity? Where does it go? Jesus not only clothed Himself in our humanity, but He clothed Himself in our sin. The one who had no sin was humiliated in our part by taking our sin upon Himself. In this way, Jesus became the greatest sinner of all times in the eyes of the Father as He wrapped Him in the sin of the whole world at Calvary's cross. It's a little wonder why the Father would have nothing to do with the Son upon the cross. When the Son cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Father could not stand the sight. Humiliation. And Christ lies not in the incarnation of the Son of God, but in the fact that the incarnate Son of God takes upon Himself our sin. See, one of the reasons that God the Father took our humanity upon His Son was to make Himself killable. That Jesus could be the ransom for all that we've ever done. He took on our humanity in order to heal the brokenness of humanity, our captive humanity, our humanity bound up in sin and death, the humanity of mourning, the humanity of ashes. And so we read in the book of Colossians, "In Him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, in Him who came wrapped in swaddling clothes. In Him was bound and scourged and whipped in our scarlet robe of shame. In Him who wore that priestly garment as a crown of thorns. In Him who was held captive, who was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, and crucified. In Him who wore our grave clothes, in Christ, God became man, wrapped Him in Himself in our sin." Well, in this way, the incarnate God wrapped Himself and made you and I holy in God's sight. This evening, you and I can sing. We can sing to God, the incarnate. We can sing that God loves us, that He wrapped Christ in our shame, that He forgave all of our sins. And He gave us a pretty awesome robe of Jesus' righteousness. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.